Here. Are you happy to be in the house? Today I want us to go into the book of Colossians, chapter number 3. The book of Colossians, chapter number 3. Now this is in line with what I just spoke to here today. This is going to be like a heart-to-heart, a message that I want to speak to us. Sometimes, you know, when we were growing up, sometimes our father would get us together and you tell us, I'd like all my family to come together because there are issues we needed to talk together, you know, as a family. And I believe from time to time it's very, very important, you know, wherever we are moving together as a family, you know, to have that heart-to-heart and exchanges. So that we can be aware of what is happening, or we can remind ourselves of our obligations even as a church, as believers, as men and women who love the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so I know I may not be able to go through the whole chapter because I would like us to kind of like go through it. But if we don't find time, then we are going to finish it this coming Sunday. Praise the Lord. All right. Colossians, the book of Colossians, chapter number 3. Now, I'll read from verse 1. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. 5. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, and that is sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of this, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourself of such things as this: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge, in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free. But Christ is all and is in all. Praise the Lord. Verse number 12, and I think that's where I'm going to end up to 14. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgive you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Praise the Lord. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to thank you for the text that is before us. Lord, even as we look into it, as we reason together, Father, I pray that you shall come through for us and that you shall enable each one of us, Lord, even to gain understanding and knowledge in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you because you are good and you are God and you are ruling and reigning in our lives. And I thank you, Father, that even as we put up us, as we put our lives in perspective to your will and according to your word, I pray that you shall rule and reign in our lives, O God. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. We are living in a time whereby the Church of Jesus Christ, and by the mention of the Church of Jesus Christ, I'm not mentioning Empowerment Christian Center or any other local church that you might know. But we are living in a time whereby people who are called believers, we who are called Christians, have a tendency to concentrate on the mundane things, you know, things that really are of no value. I heard a preacher one time saying that nowadays it's very, very common to find people measuring on the minors and minoring on the majors. You know, it's It's the spirit of the enemy. And I believe in these days which we are living in the last days where, you know, as it's narrated in the word, whereby the days of the great apostasy, whereby God will allow people to just get on what they believe and what they believe, even though there is the counseling word of the Lord that puts us into perspective. And people have chosen to assume a form of godliness and deny the power of God thereof. Praise the Lord. I pray that that will not be our portion at Empowerment Christian Center, that every time we meet here, we shall meet here to glorify the name of the Lord. There are many other people and other congregations today, even in America, that meet not to glorify the name of the Lord, but to glorify other things. You know, it's not uncommon even for you to switch on a TV and find about preachers who talk about how much they have done and not really, and talk less about how God has blessed them. Praise the Lord. How I pray that we shall be men and women who at every single moment will declare the goodness and the greatness of our God. Amen. For in Him we live and we move and we have our being. Whatever God has given us an opportunity, which we live and thrive to glorify His name. The Bible says that without Him, we can do nothing. Praise the Lord. And so it is incumbent upon ourselves every time we meet and every time we come together to know that He is the centerpiece. He is the cornerstone. He is the one that we lift up. He is the one that we exalt. He is the one that we glorify. Amen? There are many people that are coming up with so many doctrines. You know, you hear people like, just as it was in the old, people saying, oh, we belong to Paul. We belong to Silas. And people had these divisions that separated them. In our today church, we have people who are Presbyterian. We have people who are Methodists. We have people who are even Catholics. But they believe in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? And we are all brought together by the blood of Jesus Christ. If somebody believes, and I believe this with the whole of my heart, if somebody believes that the Lord God, you know, that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, and that on the third day He arose again, and He was lifted up and seated on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for them, and if only they would confess with their own hearts that Jesus is the Lord, I believe that they are born again. Praise the Lord. Amen? So it doesn't matter what denomination they come from, as long as they clearly confess Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I am hooked up or I'm linked up to them by the fact of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? They are my brother, they are my sisters, regardless where they go. And as long as they are calling upon the name of the Lord, I know they are my brothers and they are my sisters. There are many things that we may differ. We may differ in doctrinal issues of whether, you know, women are supposed to have, you know, like a head clothing on their head. We might differ on, you know, is Jesus coming after the tribulation that is going to be on the world? Is He coming before? I mean, every one of us, we may have differences in all those things. We may even have, there are people who may believe, you know, as a man you may grow a beard, you know, a long beard. And if you cut your beard, you know, it's wrongful. There are people, I mean, in the days of old, you know, it says that, you know, that like David, you know, once he was hungry, he went into the temple and there was the meat of the sacrifice. And he was hungry and he went and ate the meat that was found in the tabernacle. Now, to some people, that might be wrong. It might be offensive. But you know what? It is not a salvation issue. Praise the Lord. It is not a salvation issue. Salvation is the bond, is about Jesus going to the cross and dying and dying for the sins of humanity. If you believe in that, you're my brother. If you believe that, you're my sister. If you confess that Jesus is Lord, you are my sister and you're my brother. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so Paul addresses the church in Colossae, and he is addressing some of these things that separated them. If you read actually the entire book of Colossians, he addresses about divisions in the church, and he tells them, kind of like admonishes them of how to live right and how to lift up the name of the Lord. Now, There are two things that come out, you know, from the first verse to verse number 14, that there are two things that exist. There are things that are worldly and there are things that are heavenly. Do I have a witness? According to that scripture, there says that there are things that are worldly and there are things that are heavenly. The things that are heavenly are different than the things that are worldly. Praise the Lord. And Paul goes to the extent of explaining these things that are in the heavenly and in the things, and also the things that are in the world. And he begins up there by saying, therefore, if you have been raised, we've been raised, admonishing us that we've been raised with Christ to a new life. Amen. We've been raised with Christ to a new life. You know that Jesus, after his resurrection, the Lord lifted him up after his mission was done here on earth. And the Bible says, if you read in the book of Romans 6:4, that he was lifted up and he is seated on the right-hand side of the Father. And he's not only just enjoying his position there on the right hand of the Father, but he is doing something for me and you. He is making intercession for you and me. Amen. How would you love to know that Jesus, that Jesus is in the heavenly, and Jesus, of course, is everywhere, but at the moment he is seated on the right hand side of the Father, making intercession for you and me. Praise the Lord. And he does so perfectly because when he came on this earth, he lived like a person. He experienced the things that we experience today. He experienced challenges. He experienced impediments. There were trials and tests that he underwent while he was on this planet. And so he is in the right position to make intercession for you and me just because he went through what we are going through today. Praise the Lord. And that is the confidence that we would have even as believers and as children of God, to know that Christ is no longer in the grave, that Christ has ascended up in the heavenlies, seated on the right-hand side of the Father, making intercession for you and me. Praise the Lord. And so the Bible says that we died with Christ, and we of course know this, that when Jesus Christ died, everyone who has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and as Lord and Savior has gone virtually or by faith has gone through what Jesus Christ went through. Jesus Christ died, and on the third day he rose again. And so the Bible says that we died with him, and so we were raised with him. So when Jesus Christ was raised up, we were also raised up with him. Praise the Lord. Amen. So keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is. So we have been raised up with Jesus, so that where he is, we also are. Even though I may see your physical body here on planet earth, but essentially your spiritual life is with God, is with Jesus, where he is at the right hand side of the Father. Praise the Lord. And he says in verse 2, so since you have been raised up with Christ and you are with Christ, set your mind and keep focused habitually on the things that are above, the heavenly things, and not the things that are on earth, which have only temporal value. For verse number 3, for you died to this world and your new life is hidden with Christ in God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And the Bible also admonishes us that when Christ appears, we, our lives that are with Christ up there in the heavenly places, shall also appear with him. Praise the Lord. And so, verse number 5, it explains to us the things that are below. So it says this, so put to death and deprive of power the evil longings of your earthly body with its sensual, self-centered instincts, immorality, impurity, sinful passion, evil desires, and greed, which is in kind idolatry. Praise the Lord. So the Bible, that Paul is explaining to us, that before we surrendered our lives to the Lord, we dwelt on the things that are worldly. There was power that was driving the things that we were doing. The flesh which we have right now has the propensity and has power to propel and to propagate the things of the flesh, the things that are of the world. Praise the Lord. And so Jesus is saying that now that we've been raised up with Christ, we need to put to death those things that we used to dwell on before we surrendered our lives to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen? And so the power, the Bible tells us that we need to put our flesh to death. We need to deprive or to deny the power that exists, the power that the flesh has to propagate the things that are of the world. Amen? And it admonishes us that we have that power since we have been raised up to stay or to be with Christ, even in the heavenly places. Now, these things have been put down there. They are self-centeredness, instincts, immorality, impurity, sinful passion, evil desire, and greed, which is a kind of idolatry. Now, the question that I want to pose to the church today, even as I told you, we want to have this heart-to-heart things. Is it possible to find in the church some of these things that are talked up here, the patterns of the world today? Do we find these things among the church? Right? If these things will never be found, Paul will never be talking to the Colossians about this. So, as it were, in the Colossians church, those things are habitually among the church. Amen? It is possible for us to be delivered and to be born again, yet it is possible to allow, or it is possible for the power in the flesh to have the propensity to propagate and to promote the things, the systems, or the things that are found on the world. Amen? It is possible, and these things are there. And so Paul is speaking, and he is saying, get rid of this immorality, impurity, sinful passion, evil desires, and greed, which is a kind of idolatry. Now, what is idolatry? Idolatry is simply promoting things. It is actually adoring anything that is in your life more than the Maker. Amen? Anything that replaces the position of God in your life and you are adoring it, that is what is called idolatry. We can adore money. Money can become an idol. There are people in the planet today who thrive. Everything about their lives is about making money. And they don't think about anything else apart from making money. Amen? There are things that people draw themselves to, and it becomes their idol. Like in America, I find people so crazy about sports. You know, there are people who live and thrive football. Everything about them, they know every footballer, you know, in the entire league. There are people who are drawn to NBA, and you know, they know the Steve Curry's and everything. And I mean, they dream, they live, they whatever they breathe is just that. Now, anything that would come to replace the place of your Creator, and anything that will draw you towards, anything that will draw you towards that thing and replaces the position of God, then that thing becomes an idol to you. Praise the Lord. And so he says that whenever the flesh is drawn to these worldly things, the immorality, the impurity, you know, all these kind of things that we read in the book of Colossians, it robs us the opportunity to serve God. There's no way we can serve God and serve Mammon. Amen? There's no way God can compete for a place in our lives. God wants to be number one in all that we do. In whatever we do, God wants us to glorify Him. Praise the Lord. Are you doing your job at your place of work? You know, I want you to know that when you go to work, you don't go to work for your boss. Amen? Essentially, when you go to work, you're working for God. You're representing God in that place of work. Praise the Lord. And God admonishes the slaves, you know, down there, you know, down below. He says, even you slaves, you know, serve your masters with the whole of your heart, with the whole of your mind. Do the job that you've been given to do, knowing that when you're doing this to glorify the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Have you been in a place of work and there was no one looking after you? And you know what? There was an opportunity even to cheat. There was an opportunity even to go before your time was over and you realize you've been given the responsibility to take care of that place, and you said, you know what, I will ask somebody to clock out for me. Have you ever done that? Or have you ever had people doing that? Or have you been in a position of responsibility and you felt like, you know what, I can do this. I can do this. You know it's not right, but the power, the sinful nature that always works its tail trying to follow and pursue us tells you it is, you can compromise in this area, or you can do this thing, or A, B, and C. And you know in your knower, you know that in your heart that this is the wrong thing. But yet, we went ahead and did it. Amen? Hello? Or you may not have done so, but you felt some instincts within you drawing you to do those things that were not right. Amen? It could be at a place of your work. It could be maybe with your friends. Praise the Lord. And the Lord is speaking to us and is telling us, church, that we need to set our minds and keep focused habitually on the things above. Praise the Lord. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Now, the Bible says in the book of Amplified in verse number 6, now because of these sinful things, the divine wrath of God is coming on the sons of disobedience, those who fail to listen and who routinely and obstinately disregard God's precepts. And in these sinful things, you also once walked. See, we once walked in these things and it never made it any, I mean, it never even pricked our consciousness. It was the order of our lives. We used to do these things and we never had anybody even question what you used to do. So Paul is writing to the Colossians and is telling them that you once lived in these things. Praise the Lord. Amen. And he's telling them that, but since you accepted the Lord as Lord and Savior, then you disconnected from those things. And now you're supposed to set your minds on things that are up there high. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. And then he says in verse number 8, but now rid yourselves completely of these things. And he adds another list and he says, anger, rage, malice, slander, and obscene and abusive filthy language from your mouth. Amen? Have you had people in the church who are angry? Have you ever been angry? Amen? It's good to be angry. I've been angry too. But you don't get angry 48 hours, you don't want to talk to nobody. That you're angry and angry and angry. Eh? And yet Jesus has redeemed us. Praise the Lord. So he's telling us to get rid of these things. Rage. What is rage? It is fits of anger. You feel like you want to kill somebody. And then repent later. Right? Rage. You could have rage over your friends. You could have rage over the church. You could have rage over your friends. You could have rage over your spouse. You could have rage over your children. The Lord is telling us to get rid of this rage. Amen? Say amen like you mean it. Malice. What is malice? Can somebody tell us what? Do we have malice in the church today? No? Do you know the definition of malice? What is malice? What do you think malice is? It's heart to heart, George. What is malice? Okay. Just blank. Okay, I looked up what malice is. Malice is this. The desire to inflict injury, harm, or suffering on another. The desire. You know, talking about the desire to inflict injury on another. You know, say, James moved today. Man, this guy is really going. He's really doing good. You know what? And he is not going to do good as long as I'm standing. You know? And you begin to orchestrate behind his scenes, behind the scenes. Before James moved, harm. Something comes up. And you're the one who orchestrated it. And yet you claim to be a brother and a sister in the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, having known what malice is, okay, let me complete the definition. It is the desire to inflict injury, harm, or suffering on another, either because of a host of ill impulse or out of deep-seated meanness. In other words, you're so mean, you have a mean spirit, and you have a desire to completely destroy somebody. Malice. Do we have malice in the church? Do you have people who say that they love you, yet behind you they come and stabbing you? Hello? By the way, I was in the gym the other day and I saw somebody with a t-shirt and I really liked it. It has said this, that a friend stabs you on the front. I don't know how true that is, but I believe what it meant, you know, a friend stabs you on the front, he doesn't stab you on the back. Amen? So a real friend stabs you on the front. What, do you know what that means? He comes to tell you what your flaws are. That, you know, Shiro, you did this to me, you did the other thing to me, and I don't think this is right. Please, why did you do this thing? Oh, Pastor, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean even, if you are really mad with me, please, can you forgive me? And then at that point, I'll say, you acknowledge and say, I'm so sorry, and I've forgiven you. Praise the Lord. Amen? But in today's church, people would backstab you and assume like there was nothing that was taking place. People will go and badmouth you anywhere. They will talk ill about you. They will, you know, make sure that you're on the floor. You know, it's called malice. And Paul is speaking to the Colossians and he's telling, get rid of malice. Church, you know what? Do you want to progress in your Christian life? See, the thing is, God has called us as a corporate body. As Empowerment Christian Center, we are corporate. We can, there are blessings that we derive as a result of us being corporate. You know, there's a corporate blessing that the Lord releases to a local body. But there are also blessings the Lord also releases personally to personal people, individuals. Amen? So if you're the kind of a person who walks in this kind of a life, the Lord is speaking through the book of Colossians and is telling us, let us disconnect ourselves from malice. Amen? You are causing injury to yourself. You are causing injury to your family. You are causing injury to your posterity. When you do that, especially to one of your own. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, I know I'm stepping on our feet, but I think it's still good. Praise the Lord. Now, the other thing that he talked about, malice, what else to do? Slander. What is slander? Can somebody tell me what slander is? Do we have slander in the church? People slandering each other? What is slander? Huh? What is slander, Sister Lorraine? Speaking badly about somebody else. Slander. Now, I looked up the definition of slander. It is the action of making a false spoken statement damaging to a person. Amen? It is the action of making a false spoken statement damaging to a person. Making false and damaging statement to a person. It is to defame. You know, you have an intention to defame. Your character assassinating somebody. You are blackening somebody's name. Telling lies about other people. Speaking ill and evil. And spoiling somebody's reputation so that they would look bad before other people. May that not be our portion at the Empowerment Christian Center. Amen? There's a lot of slander. There's a lot of malice that goes on in the churches. And Paul is speaking to us that these are the things that I'm talking about, they are the worldly things. They are the things that we would be involved in those things and it never even affected our, plicked our consciousness. I mean, we would slumber anybody before we knew Jesus. We would be involved in people who talked about other people. We would backstab. It was the order of the day. But Paul is writing to us. He says, you used to live in this way of life. But he says, no more. Focus your things. Focus your life. Set your minds on things above. Praise the Lord. If you read in the scripture, Paul writes, like, these things are like raven. You begin a word speaking about say somebody, and you're saying, oh, this, did you see what so and so did? They did this, that and that, and then the other person tells the other, oh, this person did this and this. It needs to stop in the church, praise the Lord. Because we don't want to, who is perfect?
Who is perfect? This man that you see standing before you is not perfect either. I have so many flaws. I have so many weaknesses. Let me tell you, after I finish preaching, I go and tell God, God, forgive me my sins. Forgive me my trespasses. Lord, I've said I'll do things and I never did them. Have you ever said that you do things and you never did them? Did you say in your covenant in your heart that you're going to do certain things and nobody ever knew, but you knew that you said it and you decided to do it and you never did it? Before the Lord, how did you look? I mean, it's heart to heart. Love me, please. And answer me back. Before the Lord, how did you look? But you see, you're still here because the grace of the Lord is available. And when you went to the Lord and you asked God, forgive me. I said these things. I promised to do these things. Lord, you know my heart. Please, Lord, forgive me. The Lord forgave you. So how is it that you cannot even forgive your brother? How is it that you cannot forgive somebody who wrongs you? How is it that you think that you might be, or you know, you feel like, in other words, you have high expectation of other people, and you're not, you know, it's like somebody said this, that when one finger is pointing at you, the other one is pointing back at you. Praise the Lord. Are we together? Amen. And Paul says, before you go remove a log, like a little thing in somebody's eye, what do you need to do? You may have a mukoko in your eye. We need to bear with one another. Praise the Lord. I'm almost done. Malice and slander and obscene, filthy language from your mouth. Do you have filthy language in the church today? I've had people say, "Era mukorokiyo," and that person is really born again. Or calling somebody a dog, you know, I mean, in America, you call somebody a dog is a respective word, but where I come from, if you call somebody a dog, is a bad word. Or you use body language when you're expressing yourself to other people. It's possible for us to use abusive and filthy words coming out of our mouth. Paul says, these are the systems of the world. And they're not, we don't have any part with them. Praise the Lord. He says, get rid of them. He says, set your mind on things that are above. Praise be to Jesus. Hallelujah. And he says, do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices. Do we lie to each other? Come on, church. Do we lie to each other? Somebody is asking you, oh, we agreed to meet here at 3 o'clock. Where are you? And you say, I'm 5 minutes away. And you know for sure you are 50 miles away. Pastor Murefu told us a story of he was driving. I don't know if some of you can remember this story. But he is driving. And he happens to see a car of one of the person that were going to church. And so he just wanted to surprise this lady. You know, and he knew for sure this is her car. Because he knew how it is. In fact, you could even see, you know, you could tell that she was the one, you know, if you looked on the rear mirror. I mean through the rear shield. And she called her, oh, so and so. How have you been? I'm fine. And she asked him, where are you? Oh, and she started talking like she is sleeping. It's like you have woken up. Oh, I just came from work. I am so tired. Oh, you're not the one in front of me. Ahead of me, I see like you see your car. Where are you? You see, sometimes we lie to each other. We lie flatly. You know that you're giving. Let me tell you, you cannot even distinguish that person is telling a lie, and they cannot even blink. But they are telling a lie. Flat out lie. Why did you not come to work at 8 o'clock? Now you know. Why did you not do this? And it's like, but Paul is telling us that we should not lie to each other. Praise the Lord. We should not have lie. You know. May the Lord help us. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now jump to verse number 12 because this is very important. Therefore, as God's chosen people, now, who are we? We are God's chosen people. Say, I'm chosen. and I'm holy. Say like you mean it, and I'm holy. You know, back in the day, you know, back in the day, I was in a place where, you know, you'd not acknowledge that you are holy. But the fact that Jesus Christ died for you, and you've been made the righteousness of God, you are holy before the Lord. Amen? Amen? You are holy before the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, it says this, as God's chosen people who are holy, we have been set apart and sanctified. To sanctify, it is to set apart. Praise the Lord. For His purpose, you have been set apart for God to fulfill His purpose through you. There's no looking down on yourself to think that I'm unworthy or I cannot accomplish this or that. Inside of you, there is potential that when God looks at you, He looks at you like Gideon. Amen? Gideon had looked at himself unfavorably. He never thought that he was anything within him. But when the angel of the Lord comes to where he was, he calls him, "Wake up, you mighty man of valor." And in fact, like some of you would call you, "Wake up, mighty woman of valor." You'd look, you think maybe somebody's addressing another woman maybe behind you. No, you are the one. You are the mighty woman of valor. You are the mighty man of valor. Praise the Lord. You've been set apart for His purpose. Praise the Lord. Amen. And well beloved by God Himself. Now, this is what it says. These are the things. Now, these are the things that are on the heavenly. This is what it says. Put a heart of compassion. Praise the Lord. In NIV it says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved, clothe yourself with compassion. Somebody say compassion. Clothe yourself with compassion. These are things, this is the life that is with Christ in the heavenly places. In other words, if there is a conversation that is struck between the Holy Ghost, the Father, and the Savior, who is Jesus, they are talking about these things. They are dwelling upon these things. They are revolving everything that concerns what they talk about. It regards these things. How can we be compassionate about that brother? How can we be compassionate about that child of ours down in Indonesia? How can we be compassionate about this country that is really seeking us? How can we be? These are the things that God is saying, set your mind towards these things. Compassion. What is compassion? Amen? What is compassion? If somebody asks you, what is compassion? What is compassion? Come on, church. What is compassion? Huh? It's having mercy. Amen? It is being compassionate to somebody who is in need. It's being sensitive to people's pain and suffering. When you genuinely, like we were talking the other day about the Samaritan who found a man just had been beaten and he was dying, but he stopped everything, his mission, whatever he was doing, he stopped everything to attend to the suffering of that person. And he did it so genuinely. He says that we need to clothe ourselves with compassion. Praise the Lord. Clothe ourselves with compassion. Clothe ourselves with kindness. Do you know what kindness is? It is extending a right hand of fellowship to somebody who needs it. It is calling somebody who is in trouble and telling them, you know what, regardless of what I hear, regardless of what people have said about you, I will still come and give you a warm embrace, because as far as I'm concerned, you're my brother and you're my sister. Amen? That is what kindness is. It is reaching out to somebody in kindness. It is not just, sometimes it may not be somebody that you know. It is looking at somebody who is really going through a hard time, and you're extending your right hand of fellowship to tell them that it's going to be okay. He says, clothe yourself with these things, praise God. Hallelujah. What else does it say? It's humility. What is humility? Can somebody tell me what humility is? Do we still have humility in the church? Yes, we do. Amen? But we struggle with humility. What is humility? If somebody came and told you, are you humble before the Lord? I mean, when Paul is admonishing us and he's telling us, dwell in these things, think about these things. Humility. What is humility? Huh? It is what, Peter? It is meekness. You're right. In fact, it is a quality of state of not thinking you are better than other people. That is what humility is. It is thinking that you are not better than other people. It is when I stand with you, Shiro, I would listen to you because I think you are better than me. Amen? But pride is the opposite. Pride is thinking that you are better than other people. Praise the Lord. You know, there are people, let me tell you, you've been in a conversation whereby you are a set of six people, and there's one who really talks like he knows it all. 90% of the things that you're talking, and this, there could be meek people, they're just quiet, and they're intellectual, and this guy is just, bah, 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 bah. Hey, you know, he knows everything, and he goes, and goes, and then the intellectual person asks him one question that silences him, and he's really embarrassed, and you wonder why they were talking and talking and talking like they knew everything. Humility is the quality or state of not thinking you are better than other people. It is a quality of the state of being humble. You humble yourself before the Lord. It is esteeming other people as better than yourself. The Lord is saying, dwell up among these things. Clothe yourself with these things. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Gentleness and patience. What is gentleness? These are the things that he says. Clothe yourself with compassion. Clothe yourself with kindness. Clothe yourself with humility. Clothe yourself with gentleness. And clothe yourself with patience. Gentleness is the quality of being kind and careful. You know, you're treating other people with care. You know? You're treating other people with care. I don't want to be political, but there was one presidential candidate here in America. He was mocking the people who are lame, and I thought that was very wrong. You know? They were talking about somebody, you know, nobody wants to, when you are born by your mother, you don't determine whether you're going to be lame. It is being careful and sensitive to other people's needs. There are people who may not really be as knowledgeable as you are. Being gentle is submitting to them and being humble and allowing them to, because they have an identity also. They need to express themselves. It's not just overpowering them and lording it over them and showing like they are nothing. Gentleness is where you're meek and you treat each other with respect. Praise the Lord. If I'm talking something, say amen. I know you're getting blessed. And these are some things that we're supposed to remind ourselves. And finally, patience. Oh, this one. Patience. Patient with each other. What is being patient as a believer? What is being patient? Joel. Thank you. Oh my, can you approve that, brother? He really said it the way I wanted it. It is being tolerant. Okay, this is how it is, my brothers and sisters. It is to know that we are all very different. Amen? We all have different opinions. We brought up by different parents. We grew up in different places. There are the people here who grew up with their parents. Maybe they may have been drunkards. There are people who are brought up, you know, in Christianity. They know how things are done. And when you do certain things, you know, you even look like you're sinning. Because these people, all they knew was church. But we are all very different. But our common denominator is the blood of Jesus. Are you listening to me? We may have different opinions from one another. Amen? Patience is being tolerant with me. Amen? I know Apo Pastor Mebonyoa, but I'm going to be patient with him. I know Sister Papa Brother Peter dropped the ball, but I'm going to be patient with him. The Lord is telling us, clothe yourself with patience. Praise the Lord. Patience is the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. Amen? In this generation, let me tell you, if you don't do anything right now when they need it, I need to see progress. What are you doing, Pastor? Where are we going? Tell us! If you're not going, I'm out of here. I'm checking out of here. Wana, be patient with me. I'm trying. Huh? You know the people who write you off, they completely write you off. Even before you begin speaking, they just write you off. You don't even have patience in your place of work. Huh? You are the one who is known that you are, you know, people even know you. Oh, you're talking about brother so-and-so who really is really picky. It's like, in fact, they think that you are hyper. Because you are never patient about things. When somebody drops a ball, You are really new. You, this person is the one who dropped it. Let me tell you, yesterday I'm driving home and I went to pick up my daughter. She was going to do her school shopping, okay? And I'm driving on 121, some Rayburn Highway, and I'm just going to drop her to school. She had a function. And I'm driving just normal, regular, you know, the way you drive on a regular, you know, you're just going along other traffic. And I'm telling you, a guy from nowhere. I'm on my lane, Pastor Julius. This guy, I don't even know whether he was texting or he was whatever he was doing, but I had bang on the side of my car. Oh, and Susie was so scared. And I thought, oh my goodness, this is it. I don't know if I swerve or if I go to the other direction. This is it. And you know, there's so many lanes up there. And so this guy is pulling off. He's a young guy. I think almost the age of my son, you know, Ron. You know, and he pulls. I thought he was going to run away because I was going to chase him and take the number. But luckily, he pulled off forward. And he came out of the car. And he came and said, oh, he's a young man. He said, you know the way, young man, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, sir. I'm so sorry, sir. You know, I said, what happened? You almost killed us. That's what I told him. He said, you know, sir, I'm so sorry. I just came from a football game. And, you know, just to tell you, my car doesn't have insurance. I said, what? So I asked him, were you sleeping? Were you texting? No, sir. I never text when I'm driving. But you came on my side like, you know, I'm just so drizzy, you know. And you know what? I just have $40 in my pocket. You know, I know it damaged your mirror. Please, can you take it? I looked at him, I told him, $40? You know, I looked at him, and immediately I felt the Spirit of God telling me, this could be your son. You know, sometimes we are really quick in making judgments of other people. I had choices. This guy stood up there, he didn't even look like me. I would have called the cops, you know, until this guy was drunk or something. But you know what, when he told me, especially he didn't have any insurance, I knew if I would call the cops, he would just maybe be arrested. So I told him, listen, I've driven trucks before. If you did that to a truck, you know, we would be talking different things right now about your life. And I told him, you need to pull over. If you came from a football game, pull over. On the other side, go take a power nap of 5 minutes before you go home. And he didn't believe it. I told him, I don't even want your $40. Just go. And let me tell you, man, it is like he hit an angel. Because when I stopped and looked at my car, there was just a scratch on the mirror. But his car, some of the things were left up there, actually, on the road. So, sometimes, you know, the Lord will test us and put us in position to test our patience. To test what God has done in our lives. Are you really, if some of us, maybe, and I don't want to, you know, pick on anybody. If that happened to somebody, would you not say, wait, this is the opportunity, now I'm killing somebody. You know, I'm not saying that I'm an angel here, because sometimes I think maybe the Lord dealt with me at that particular. Sometimes maybe I'd be angry. But I'm telling you, what I'm saying is we need to allow the Holy Spirit to make us letters, you know. So even when you are talking, whenever, if you're walking, whatever you're doing, the people would not even need to hear a word of, you know, a word from the Bible from you. You are walking testimony. You are walking as Jesus. Amen? So your life is a testimony. Amen. So, this guy just left and he went, and I told Susie, how did you say? Susie was like, you didn't take the $40? I said, you're really an American. Why would I take the $40? Susie would take the $40. You didn't take the $40, Dad? I mean, the guy hit your mirror. But anyway, sometimes you have to let go. You know, sometimes you have to exercise God's mercies. Because you know what? My son, he's going to drive and maybe do that to somebody else. You know? And somebody will show him mercy. God will remember that I showed mercy on somebody else, and he'll show mercy on my son or my daughter or anybody who is related. Or maybe yourself, because I'm your pastor. Maybe you hit somebody's car and say, I remember what that pastor did, and because you are under that pastor, I'll let him go. Amen? So you do unto others what you'd want them to do unto you. Praise the Lord. Finally, it says this, and I need to close. And finally, it says this, bear with each other and forgive one another. You see, these are the things that the Lord told us. Set your mind towards the things that are on high. He says, bear with each other and forgive one another. Oh, Jesus. In fact, you know what? Next Sunday we'll talk about, because I cannot even finish to talk about that. If any one of you has grievance against someone, and forgive one another, if any one of you has a grievance against someone. How many times do you go through, you hear people that they don't even talk to each other? Not even a long time ago, I was talking to somebody. I was asking her, okay, what happened? You never go to fellowship, you never come to here. And he started telling me about things, what happened. They don't even talk to these people. And I'm like, you cannot even tell me this because you are a quality of a pastor. How can you even say that? He was telling me, they don't even talk to me. And I don't talk to them. And I can't even come. And I can't even go. And I wouldn't even let them come. And I'm like, and you're still going to heaven? Do you know those things exist? You have something against someone who made something wrong and you're not willing to forgive. How mwadhani? There. On I get them on a duty. And I will never forgive. And you're still going to heaven? You might as well, God forbid, decide right now whether you want to go to heaven, because you're not going to heaven. But the Bible says, forgive and you shall be. If you don't forgive, you are not going to be forgiven. Is that not what the Bible says? If you don't forgive, it shall not be forgiven. How many times, you know, Paul says these things because he knows that we are weak. We have the propensity to make a mistake. Julius, maybe tomorrow I'm preaching this message and you'll be so angry with me. Because I can cross his path. I'm human. Munanisikia? We are all human. And we have a propensity to make to cross each other's paths. We need to have the forbearance of one another. Knowing that tomorrow it might be us. Amen, Dad? Tomorrow it might be you. Today it might be on my case. And you might be doing it on somebody's behalf. And you might be needing your mercy. But today, if you don't exercise that mercy, and tomorrow it's, oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord, please come through for me. I just hit this. Oh, I need your mercy. But did you show mercy the other day? When you are in a position to show mercy? Praise the Lord. Let me tell you, church, as a body of Christ, as a local body, these are things that would make us stagnant. Amen? And we'll be talking in details about these things. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues, put on love. Now, I don't want to dwell on that because I don't want to shortchange us, but I want us to end us there. We'll complete that next Sunday. But what I'm saying is that the Lord tells us tonight, I mean this afternoon, that there are things that are worldly and there are things that are above. We need to set our minds on things that are above. Amen? As you walk, I pray in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Even me, I'm praying, I'm including myself there, that even as we talk, as we walk, and as we think, especially thinking, let me tell you, whenever you involve things in your mind, I may not really know what you're thinking. But God wants us, even in our mind, to set our minds on things above. Amen? Praise the Lord, that we will be authentic representatives of Jesus Christ on this earth. Let us stand on our feet. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful. Thank you, Lord, even for this word that you just put in on our way today to remind ourselves to set our things on things that are above. Lord, we used to live in darkness and we never knew what the light was. But the Bible tells us in the book of 1 John, chapter number 2, I believe verse number 9, that if we say that we live in the light and we hate our brothers and sisters, then we walk in darkness and we lie. Lord, I pray that we shall love one another. We shall forbear with one another. We shall be patient with one another. We shall be compassionate with one another in the name of Jesus. And Lord, even as the Bible tells us that we shall throw the bond of love over all these virtues that we may be united together and forge a common goal in the name of Jesus. Lord, no one in this church, no one in this congregation standing here this afternoon is of no value. Everybody is valuable and they are beautiful and they are handsome before you. Lord, I pray that we shall live as queens and princesses and kings
and we shall live a noble and loyal life, royalty in the name of Jesus. I pray that you shall strengthen those of us, O Lord, who feel like they need to inch up to what you're telling us, O Lord. Give us that focus, to focus our minds on things that are above and be glorified in our lives. You might be here, you've never given your life to Jesus, or you're sick in your body, or you need a special miracle from the Lord, a touch from the Lord. I'd like you to lift up your hands. We want to pray together. Anybody who needs a special touch, I may not even want to know what your need is, just lift it up. I see that hand. Lift it up high. Yes, in the name of Jesus. Let's pray. Yes, I see that hand. Thank you. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we are grateful. We are honored to be in your presence. And thank you, Lord, because unless you move in our lives, we would move in vain. For you are the builder, and you're the one who watches over our lives, O God. And I pray that you shall strengthen us. I pray that you shall enable us to love one another and to see our place even in the body of Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this coming week. I declare it shall be a good week, and we shall prosper. We shall trust you, Lord, even to achieve greatness in all that we plan to do. We give you praise. We honor your name. Thank you so much for bringing us to your house today. We count it a great honor. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you, and thank you so much. Lord. What's up? You're doing good this morning? Now, before we bring the word of the Lord, I would like to ask to pray for Brother Rodrigo. I don't know if anybody can see Brother Rodrigo, the brother who plays the keyboard. If you can see him somewhere here, somebody sees him. This brother just came and intimated. Let me tell you, there are many things that happen in our lives from day to day, but in spite of those things, we are still worshiping and praising the Lord. Amen. And as our brother comes, I really want to applaud every one of you. I know times can be very tough and they can be very difficult. It is very possible for us to be here and smiling to each other, yet you're going through a very tough time. Amen? And there are some things that sometimes we may not really be able to explain or even to expound on what is happening. But the love of your Maker is what makes you to come here every single day and to praise Him and to do what you do every single day. Amen? This brother came and told me that he is facing a very big commitment to pay for his school. He needs about $6,000. Come over here, Brother Rodrigo. He needs about $6,000 to pay for his school. Now, I've known this brother for not long time ago, but I know that he loves the Lord with his heart. Amen. And what I felt when he told me that, I said, silver and gold, I don't have. I don't even have 6,000. Neither do we have 6,000 that we can give him. Amen. But you know what? The Lord owns everything. All the cattle in 1,000 hills belongs to him. Amen. And how many of you believe? You know, this brother stood here one time and gave a testimony of how the Lord has come through in his life. How many of you believe that God can still come through for him? Amen? Amen. I'm going to call Pastor JK to come over here to pray for him. And I would like you to stand on your feet, stretch your hands towards him. And we want to believe God with him, that God is going to come through for him, whether the Lord is going to talk to the Christ for the Nations to provide for those finances. However the Lord chooses to come to his aid, the Lord is going to come and meet with him. Amen? And help him out. Amen. Let's pray together.
I know the Lord will make a way for you. In our own understanding, sometimes the journey is so rough and we may never know how the end is going to be. In our own estimation, it's hard, the journey is rough, but your plan does not change for us. The plan that God has for us is to give us a future and a hope. And regardless of what we encounter, that plan, that God's plan, never changes. It still gives us a future and a hope. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you standing on those promises today, that you have a plan for Brother Rodrigo. We thank you because God, the plan that you have for him and his family is to give him a future and a hope. And the circumstances right now may be speaking differently, but that does not change your plan. You still have a plan for him to give him a future and a hope. Now, God, one thing we do know is that, God, you do not raise us, lift us up to bring us down. One thing we know, God, is that you do not teach us how to swim to let us drown. One thing we know is that, God, you don't lift us up, oh God, and that's just let us go. You hold us, oh God. You hold us and you walk with us. And this is our time, oh God, that you are praying that you may walk with Brother Rodrigo. The journey looks rough. The journey looks tough. There is no answer in place, but we do know that you've done it for others. You can do it for him, oh God. It is you who have said that a cattle upon a thousand hills belong to you. And this day, Lord Jesus Christ, we are claiming and we are pleading that God, in your mercy, in your goodness, and in your favor, that you may bestow upon Rodrigo whatever he needs, oh God, in abundance, oh God, in the name of Jesus. I'm praying that, Lord Jesus Christ, that Lord, you will meet his needs according to your riches in glory. We thank you because there is nothing that is too hard for you, oh God. We are praying for favor. We are praying that God may open doors, oh God, beyond his wildest imagination, oh God. Meet with him at every point of his need. Meet with him, Jehovah. We thank you for his faithfulness, oh God. We thank you, Lord, for his sincerity, oh God. And we thank you that, Lord, he knows there is only one place that he can run and be safe, and that is to you, oh God. We now await your miracle, Lord. We now await for you, Lord Jesus Christ, to perform this miracle for him in the name of Jesus Christ. We wait for you, Lord, to provide whatever he requires, oh God, for school and even for his living expenses, oh God, because we know that, God, you've never let us down and you're not going to start now. We lean upon you, Lord. We anchor upon you, oh God. We stand upon your promises, oh God, and we thank you in advance because we know that miracle is coming for Brother Rodrigo in the name of Jesus. We thank you and bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
God bless you. The Lord comes through for you. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for him. Amen. And thank you so much. I've had most of you, you know, the last time he gave a testimony, most of you came and gave you the, you know, gave him something, you know, put something in his hand, you know, to support his stay in Christ for the Nations. I know it's not easy, especially when you have a family, you're going to school and you can't go to do a regular job, so it's hard. So he depends on the Lord to come through, and some of the way that the Lord provides is using us. Amen? God uses man to help another man. Praise the Lord. Do I have a witness? Yes, God uses man to help another man. You know, God is capable to manifest himself, you know, in bodily form. But he says, no, you know, I have human beings out there, you know, and I can use them to bless another man. Praise the Lord. Praise God. We want to hear the word of the Lord, but just before we do that, I just want to make one announcement that's very, very critical. We've been putting together our database for the members of our church. We want to know who are the members of our church. We put together, we remember some time back, we filled out some forms, and we put together a list or of who our members are. We put together this, you know, here. There could be maybe you moved or you changed your phone numbers. By law, we are supposed to have a record of people who are members of our church. Amen? And there are people who never had an opportunity to fill out these forms. So even though your name might be here on this list, I'm going to give this to Sister Beatrice. And Beatrice is going to give it to you, not now, but after the service. Go through it. You give your phone number. You give your address. And you give your email. And so if it's wrong or it's misspelled, just correct it somewhere on the back and we are going to correct it. Now, there's a reason why we are doing this. Number one is because by law we are supposed to have a record of our members. So if you never filled out one of these, please make sure you fill it out. If you change your address, make sure that you also fill it out. And we are going to discuss this today. And next week, we're going to have a heart-to-heart with each one of us. So it is important, please, for you to come. We'll have just a regular service, but we want a seat so that we can communicate with each other, you know, exchange our views regarding our ministry and where we are going heart to heart. Amen. So next Sunday, it will be very, very important. So I want to give this to Sister Beatrice. If you be dashing out to go to work or wherever, please make sure you see her before you go, Sister Beatrice. You can have this. Give it to her. Make sure you see her, and it's all written. You should be able to locate your name. If your name is not there, please make sure you fill out a form, and the Lord is going to bless you. Praise the Lord.